Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you to let you know that one of the organizations that has been birthed out of Bethany Baptist Church is the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies. This fall, we will be offering four classes: Right to Life, Right to Choose. In this, we'll look at the subject of abortion and give us a more comprehensive perspective in light of God's Word. American Sign Language, where we teach people how to sign to the deaf culture in the Christian context. We also have biblical counseling, where we train people how to use the Bible to counsel others. And then we have apologetics, where we defend the Christian faith. The classes begin this fall. They are all Zoom classes, so you can take them right from the convenience of your home. If you are interested or want more information, call 412-242-3255. To register or for more information, call 412-242-3255. God bless you as you listen to the message today.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Myrna Patterson thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of On the Road Again from Psalms 51. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of On the Road Again.
Let God minister to your heart. Let God break you so that you might be on the road again. As we look at this idea of repentance, you know, what is repentance? Repentance is making a U-turn. Repentance is turning away from sin by changing one's actions to obey the word of God. Repentance is, this process consists of feeling sincere regret and sorrow for doing wrong, confessing your sin, asking for forgiveness, making restitution for any damage, and promising not to repeat the sin again. Now, I've counseled people, and people have what we call a beginning sin, a sin that, you know, they do over and over repeatedly again, you know. And it's good to know that when you repeat the sin, that there is forgiveness in the Lord, that you have forgiveness, and that you don't have to allow yourself to fall prey to this idea that I can't overcome this sin, that I can't break out of this sin, but I have the power, I have the ability to overcome sin, and that we can move ahead of it. And you know, it's more than just saying, I have sinned. There are people in the Bible that said, I have sinned. Judas said, I've sinned. Saul, the king, said, I have sinned. But saying you have sinned is one thing. Being broken in your heart over that sin, being crushed in your spirit over that sin, is another thing. You know, there's a road in Canada that the only way that you can get in is by cutting down the brush. You have to go in and have a sickle and some other cutting utensils and go in there and cut it down. And you, if you stop anywhere, the only way that you can go without any resistance is to turn around and go back the other way. And you know, that's the way sin is sometimes. Some people have worked to cut themselves into sin. And they get in sin and they've cut in so deep. And the more you cut, the deeper you go. But there's good news. There's a road behind you that all you got to do is turn around and go back the other way. That's what repentance is. Repentance is a turning around. It's a change of mind that leads to a change of action. If you look at your notes this morning, the first point that I want to speak on is when you get back on the road again, that you've got to go around the bend of brokenness. You've got to go around the bend of brokenness. Now, this is good. I'm going to finish this message next week. I was going to do a PowerPoint this morning. I just didn't get over here to get organized, but I got all kind of signs and everything that point you in the right direction. All right? But you've got to go around the bend of brokenness. Look at verse 16 and 17. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. You see, somebody said that brokenness is you coming to God on God's terms. Some folk want to come to God on their terms. They want to set the agenda for how they come back to God. Well, you know, God, if you will bless me with a good job, then I'll come back to you. You know, God, if you just allow so-and-so to like me, then I'll worship you. God, if you just get me out of this problem just one more time, then I'll serve you. I'll turn back to you. But you see, look what he says here. He said the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Oh, God, thou will not despise. And in verse 16, he said, look, he said, Lord, if you wanted burnt offerings, I would give it to you. You know, it'd be very easy for me to come and kill an animal and have it offered up by the priest. Then, me and you will be right. And that'll be real simple. But see, if my heart is not right, then I'm coming to God on my terms. I got to come to God on his terms. And the way that I come to God, if I've gotten off of the road, the way that I come is that I have to come with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. In the notes, it says this. At the top of the hill, guarding the way of the highway, the way to the highway, stands so gaunt and grim, the cross. There it stands, the divider of time and the divider of men. At the foot of a cross is a door, so low that to get through it, one has to stoop and crawl through. It is the only entrance to the highway. We must go through it if we would go any further on the way. The door is called the door of the broken ones. That whenever you come to get on the highway, you can't walk on the highway with your chest puffed up, talking about how bad I am. Look how good a Christian I am. I don't cuss, smoke, or chew, and I don't hang with people who do. You know, you're just bragging about yourself on the road. See, no, you can't come on the road like that. You can't come on the road like that. You know, in order to walk on this road, it requires brokenness. That, you know, you got to feel. You got to feel your sin in your heart. You know, if you've committed a sin against your family, and you got to feel it in your heart. You know, you just can't say, well, yeah, I was wrong. Yeah, let's just move. No, brokenness is a crushed heart. That when you look at your life and you look at how you have affected others, man, it should break your spirit. It should cause you. You know, the problem with many of God's people today is that we don't weep anymore. We don't weep. We're not broken over our sin. You know, we sit around and watch TV where they make light of sin. You know, we see people in homosexual relationships and see that as a way of life. And instead of us looking at that and praying for those individuals to be broken of that sin, you know, we laugh at the sitcoms where they're presented. You know, we see people get drunk and do all kind of crazy stuff, and we sit back and we laugh at them. And somewhere in our heart, now, I mean, nobody likes to have a good time more than me. And nobody likes to laugh more than me. But you know what? Sometimes we need to see sin for what it really is. And we need to see sin. You know, we see, you know, people getting drunk and having a good time, but we don't see the death that's caused because of drunkenness. We don't see the husband that goes home and beats his wife and beats his children because of brokenness. We don't see, we laugh at drug addicts and people who are on drugs, but we don't see the people that take their drugs and don't give money to their kids to be supported. Man, you know, we need to be broken over sin. You know, we've gotten so accepting, we've got so numb that our hearts are no longer broken over sin. David said here, he said, God, if you wanted a sacrifice, I would have gave it to you. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And man, we got to get back to the place where we weep, where our hearts are touched. You know, and sometimes, you know, just in my devotion life, you know, I sometimes I'll be honest with you, saints. I'm just going to be, let me make a confession here from the pulpit, that sometimes I don't want to have devotions. I don't want to have devotion. I'll be honest with you. Because a lot of times when I go and God begins to put his finger on some things in my life that's not right, I said, man, God, I get tired of you breaking me like this. You know, I just get tired of, you know, coming here and you know, just have being broken. And it's easy to run away from that brokenness. It's easy to just, you know, get up and move on into your day and get busy. And see, that's what I was doing. I was just getting busy. And I got to the point where I got overwhelmed. And God said, well, look, you ran away from the brokenness in the morning. I'm going to get you in the afternoon. I'm going to get you in the afternoon. But that whole idea of brokenness, that if we are going to be on the road, the road of holiness, you can't be a peacock on the road of holiness. You know, God is not looking for peacocks to strut their stuff. He's looking for folk that will bend their head and bow and be humble on this road. This road is only for humble. This road is only for those who want to exercise humility in this idea of brokenness. You've got to go around the bend of brokenness. And then not only must you go around the bend of brokenness, but next you must detour down the concourse of confession. You must detour down the concourse of confession. Look what he says in verse 3. He says, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Notice what he did. He didn't blame somebody else. He didn't blame shift. He didn't say, well, if so-and-so would have did this, this wouldn't have happened to me. He said, he didn't say, well, you know, Lord, you know, if Bathsheba, you know, would have put a towel on out there, then I wouldn't be in the situation that I was in today. No, he didn't get it. He didn't blame shift. You know, he came to the point, and once again, I want to say that for almost a year, what was going on with this brother? You know, what was going on in his mind? Do you think that you can just take another man's wife and not have a conscience about it? Do you think you can just have another man killed and not have a conscience about it? So I don't know what he was doing. I don't know if it was eating him up or if he was trying to sweep it under the rug. I know Psalm 32, whether we'll look at it, gives us a little indication of something that he might have been dealing with. But he had to come to the point. He put his finger on it. He had to come to that point. Saints, you got to come to that point. I haven't been a good husband. I got to come to that point. I haven't been a good wife. I got to come to that point. I haven't been a good parent. I got to come to that point. Nobody to blame if my kids would have did this or if they would have did that. No, I got to come to the point. It's me. You know, I got to come to the point if I'm a child in somebody's family that, and I think my parents are mean and spiteful and trying to make life miserable for me, I got to come to the point, well, you know what? Right now, this is the home that I'm in. And my parents have my best interests at heart, and they love me. And that what they're saying is the best thing for me. So even though I don't agree with it, I'm going to go ahead and submit to it because it's not really my parents' problem. It's mine. Now, once again, you know, I don't think that any parent who is being a decent parent is intentionally trying to make a child's life miserable. As a matter of fact, any parent that loves their children, they want the best for their children. And so anything that they do and any measures of discipline that they put there are because they want the best. And, you know, some kids, you know, some kids just need to stop and say, look, I've done wrong. You don't try to blame your parent for, you know, what you're doing and making your life so miserable. Just look at yourself. And I think that if we can get more people to come to the place where we look at ourselves and we examine our lives. You know, when something happens in my relationship with my wife or in my family, you know, the first person I always look at is me. I mean, I got to be honest. You know, what have I done to contribute to this problem? What have I done wrong? And you know all that is? That's confession. Look at the notes. Confession is from the Greek word homologeo, which literally means same word. It is commonly translated as to say the same thing. When we confess our sins to God, we are agreeing with him that we have sinned according to his word. That's all confession is. Lord, I agree with your word that I haven't done this. That's confession. Confession, once again, brokenness is the emotional part. Brokenness is the emotional part. All confession is just a mental assent in agreement with God. All confession is saying, Lord, I stole. Lord, I did wrong. And when you confess, you put the finger right on the problem. And you know what? Confession is not for God. You think God is up there? Well, you know, I don't know what people are doing. I got to wait until they come and confess, and then I'll find out what they're doing. God already knows. And all he wants you to do is agree with him. That's all he's asked. Lord, you know what? You're not important enough for me to spend time with you. Just go on and confess it. Go on and confess it. He already knows anyways. At least if you confess it, you may do something about it. Lord, I confess to you that other relationships have taken priority over my relationship with you. Just be honest. Confess it. He already knows it. Lord, I confess to you that I've had lust in my heart. He already knows. Put your finger on it. Confess it. See, God, you know, we don't need these public prayers. Oh, Lord, forgive us for all of our sins. Help us not to do them again. No, when you get a, you need to be specific. You need to identify the specific issue that you're dealing with. And see, some of us, we done got so holy that we think that, well, you know what? I just got a little attitude sin. So, you know, so-and-so, you know, they really got a big sin. They have a problem in it with their wife. You know, God, you need to be dealing with him. Don't be dealing with me. And we got these little things that just eat away at us. And you know what Solomon said in the Song of Solomon? He said, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And these little things, sometimes, at least the person that's committing the big sin, you know, it's out there. It's his stuff is out. His stuff is exposed. But you sneak around, you know, criticizing, and you see your brother with the little mote, the little toothpick in his eye, and you got a big telephone pole in front of you. And you can't see your own sin. Confession. Confession. Say the same thing that God says. Let me hit this last point this morning, and that is we've got to merge onto the freeway of forgiveness. So you know what? We need to realize that, you know, this, see, you know what, man? See, this relationship with God, let me just be honest with you. It takes work. You can't be a lazy person and be a Christian. It takes work. When you want to get right with God, there are times when you don't have time to go through all this stuff, and you just gotta, you know, if like Peter. When Peter was walking on that water and he was doing all right, and then he took his eyes off Jesus or whatever happened and he began to sink, you know, he didn't have time to say, oh, most precious and heavenly Father, God of the universe, God of the sea, God of the mountains, God of the sky, Lord, thou art the great creator of all things. We know that you have all ability in your hand to save from the uttermost to the guttermost. He didn't get into all that. Help! Help! See, sometimes, you know, we don't have time to do all that. But more often than not, we have time, and we just don't take time. And when we have committed a wrong, you know, when we have committed an offense against another person, when we have committed, and look what David said here in Psalm 51, verse 4. Look what he says here. Verse 4. Against thee only have I sinned. Saints, all sin is against God. It may be against your wife, your children, your husband, your co-worker, your neighbor, but all sin is against God. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for all sin. There was no sin that was unleft. Somebody said, well, I can see when Christ died on the cross, you know, how that he died for all my future sins, but I can't see how he died for all my past sins. Well, when you were born, Christ had already died for all your sins. Yeah, they were already covered. When he hung on that cross, you know, I don't believe that he turned into sin. I don't think some people teach that Christ, when he was on the cross, that he turned into sin. He didn't turn into sin. If he did, then he wouldn't be the spotless Lamb of God. But you know what I believe happened on that cross? That he felt the weight of every sin that a person would ever commit, that he took it on himself, and he felt the weight of that sin. And so when you sin, that was a part of the weight that was on the cross for Jesus Christ. That was a part of it. Every sin that you committed, he felt the weight of. Every sin that you commit, Christ felt it to the nth degree like none other. You had maybe some people here today who are older and have children, and you have adult children. And if your children haven't always done the things that you thought they should do, and once again, not that you were right, but just, you know, they didn't take their life in the right direction. Doesn't that hurt you? Just think about, as a parent, think about how you feel when your children do things that hurt you, when they make unwise decisions, when they make bad choices, and how you as a parent just hurt and your soul aches when you see that. Multiply that a million times infinity. And that's how God feels when we commit sin. God is hurt. God is wounded when we commit sin. And he says here, against thee and thee only have I sinned. So we've got to merge on the freeway of forgiveness. Let me stop here because it's just so much stuff here. You know, so much stuff here. But saints, we need back on the road again. We need to get back on the road again. And you know what? As I close this morning, that if you really know what it takes to get back on the road, somebody hear me right now. If you really know what it takes to get back on the road, you're going to make sure that you do everything you can to stay on the road, because you don't want to fall off that road. You want to be on this highway. You want to be on the highway of holiness, where it's just a good relationship with God, good fellowship with the saints, living a life that you feel good about. That's all that it is. I'm not trying to put this thing out there as something, you know, you can do this. It's not something that's out there that you can't attain. All of us can walk on this highway. You know, as we leave here today and walk out this church, we can walk in fellowship with the saints, and we can be on the highway of holiness, just in experiencing the joy of the Lord. You know, I was in Lowe's the other day, and I had went to get something. I couldn't find it, and I was walking out the door. As I was walking out the door, I heard somebody say, "Nothing but the best, Pastor." I didn't have to look around to see who it was. Fellowship on the road, man. Fellowship on the road. The highway of holiness.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Fine-Tuning Your Focus on the Lord from Psalm 73. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, On the Road Again, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request On the Road Again. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request On the Road Again. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206, and it's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Myrna Patterson reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.